Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu.
With a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening. Reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe."
Where are you now, when all that feel is down? Where are you now, when I can't figure it out? Oh, why? I hear you say, look up, child. Hey, look up, child.
Hey. If you told me this was going to happen, I would have said, no, it's not. I would have never predicted starting my own sermon by quoting myself. It's kind of weird. And I don't know what the proper thing is, English teachers, because am I actually just saying out loud what I think, or am I quoting myself? Because I did take the words from here, but the words from there came from here. So it's kind of interesting, and it's given me compassion for people who lecture, who wrote books. But here goes. I love knitting. And my grandmother taught me to crochet and to embroider as a young person, and then I learned to knit as an adult. Knitting is a way for me to create, and it's a way for me to relax, meditate, and be. Knitting also really, really gave me a good focus when I was working through years and years of infertility and knitting a lot of baby things. The other thing about knitting is it's hard. And as much as I love to knit, I also have been extremely frustrated time and time again because knitting takes a great deal of practice to get it right. There are two long needles, or one circular with two ends to be proper, and there's yarn. And everything has to be held in just the right way so that the yarn has the proper tension between the needles. And in this way, what you are creating will be smooth and even. It takes time to find and hold this tension, and the more you do it, the better you become. Once you have this mastered, the only thing really stopping you from going further and further is yourself. After many years of knitting, I'm really comfortable, like casually comfortable saying, I'm a knitter, right? I love the many parts to it, and I feel pretty confident. The more mistakes I make, the better knitter I become. I'm even able to teach others. There may be some people in this room I've taught, and still, as much as I claim my knitting identity, I know that there will always be more for me to learn. Staying in love with God is like knitting for me. I love the many ways or disciplines, as we call them, there are to love God. And I'm confident in practicing them. I'm able to teach others, and still, as much as I claim my Christian identity, I know that I have a lifetime of learning ahead of me. Therefore, Jesus has promised that he and God will come and make a home with us that you heard in Scripture. Sounds like excellent news to me, almost like a knitting circle. Pull up a chair is what I think in my head. Pull up a chair, God, sit right here next to me. I've been at this a while, but with all that's going on lately in our community and the world, loving God feels kind of challenging. So I could use a refresher. And in John 14:23, we hear Jesus offering us a refresher for some, new for others, a method for loving God. And it says, by keeping my word, which ultimately comes not from Jesus alone, but from the one who sent him. So the route to knowing God then is to live the word of Jesus, which in turn will, with the Spirit's aid, lead to a living experience of the love of Jesus and the one who sent him. In the absence of a physically present Christ after Easter, our daily practice makes real the living presence and love of God. In his book, Way of Love, which we are using to undergird this worship series, Norman Wiersbe writes, the fundamental task of Christians is to align their living with the divine love that is always already operative in the world. And without this alignment, one can scarcely claim to know God at all. This is why it makes sense to describe Christianity like as an apprenticeship in the learning of and participation in God's love. And John 14:23 seems to point towards this call to alignment. Jesus answers him, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. We align our living by learning and participating. So did the disciples. When Jesus' disciples followed him and his way of love, it became possible for relationship with him to extend beyond them, beyond those first followers. And this is how we are to understand the way relationship with Jesus does not depend on his physical presence, but rather on the love of God in the life of God's community. And the love for God is present whenever those who love Jesus keep his commandments, when they continue to live out the love that Jesus showed them in his own life and death. But this, unfortunately, is not often how the Christian faith is presented or even lived out. Because many people think of faith as like a series of beliefs or statements of doctrine, like the Apostles' Creed or the Westminster Confession of Faith or the Four Spiritual Laws. The trouble with this is love really like quickly fades away as it gets replaced with rote learning and litmus tests. While it would be convenient to have a neat and tidy set of teachings, right? Boom, boom, boom. Check, check, check. I'm good with God. The truth is, loving God isn't a checklist, it's a way of life. It's holding and living out the vision which bears witness to God's love everywhere at work in the world. And when I say this, I don't mean to say that teachings don't matter. They do. But teachings only matter insofar as they allow and lure us into loving God more deeply. Teachings matter when they bring deeper alignment of our lives with God's love. Back at John 14:6, when Jesus says, maybe you've heard this before, but maybe not, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? He is not saying, believe me or else, right? He's showing us how to live and opening a pathway into that way of living. Last week when we read what Jesus said in John 13:34 was, I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you, and you should also love one another. And he doesn't follow it up in verse 35 with, and if you don't, you'll all have a timeout until you get it right the first time. It's not there. He's showing us that we need to love others like he loves us. I want to repeat a sentence from Norman Wiersbaugh that I shared last week, because I think he nails it, even though it's a hard sentence that I've been living with. He writes, Christian faith is an existential commitment or personal promise to perceive and live life in the kinds of ways that Jesus inspires and makes possible. So listen, I know the Bible is complicated, and it contains many, many different voices, not all of which are in obvious agreement with one another. Just start with Genesis. But the Bible does contain the revelation of God, as it also witnesses to humanity, that's all of us, humanity's developing, sometimes struggling, sometimes mistaken discernment of who God is and what God is requiring of us. But the overall structure and the deep logic embedded of Scripture progressively communicates over and over that the nature of God is love. This love is so all-inclusive. It is so creative, it is so collaborative, it is so inexhaustible that we should expect its revelation to also be a little bit complex and frequently overwhelming. And that's why it takes time and it takes practice to be able to recognize and appreciate it. So what's a woman to do? Well, here at the table, we focus on six of the historic disciplines that have been passed down to us through the ages. And while there are certainly more than six, more that could be included, these have been important to generations of people, and especially the founder of the Methodist movement. His name was John Wesley. And we have found them to be transformative in our ability, and most importantly, I think, in our community's ability to find our way as a map for loving God. So I'm just going to briefly go through them. And if you have them memorized, you could stand up here and do it instead of me. There's nobody. Okay. Thank you for remaining seated. The first one is the public worship of God. What's that? It's what we're doing right now. And one of the key words in there is public, open. Open to any and all of God's people. That's where we root our lives in grace. Another is the ministry of the word, we call it, either read or expounded. This trips people up a little bit. We like to refer to that as your witness. That trips people up a little bit. Because depending on what your own story is, the word witness can be a little bit scary. But I want to say this. Being a witness is simply saying what you know to be true. Nobody can dispute that. Saying what you know about God to be true, nobody can dispute that. They may want to engage with you in your witness, and that can be scary too. But Matt and I aren't the only ones who can witness or expound upon the word. We've been trained differently than many of you. But you too can read or expound on the word of God. The supper of the Lord, that's communion, breaking bread. Some people call it Eucharist, the Lord's Supper. There's family and private prayer. I think that's self-explanatory. There's searching the scripture. Now, that's different than the ministry of the word. The word of God is, we know, is to be Jesus, but searching scriptures is opening the Bible, which can, as I said, be complicated. You can read it. You can have tools to research it, but you can also just listen in the presence of the poetry that is within it. Searching scriptures, I believe, often is best really done in community. And finally, there's fasting or abstinence. And that involves naming a behavior or a way of life or something you are thinking or doing that you would like to offer to stop for a while. The reason for that, though, to make it a spiritual discipline instead of just something cool to try, is that as you become of that stopping, you turn your attention towards God. You just turn towards God. And it may be a moment of silence or it may be a prayer. These are the historic disciplines, and we share them with our growing in faith groups, and our kitchen tables practice them throughout the year, and we practice them a lot here. There's one way to practice it right behind me. It may not look like a spiritual discipline to you. But one of our artists in residence, Eric, has shared his witness of what it might look like to work on loving and loving God and loving our neighbor. So we invite you during communion to try maybe this spiritual discipline. There are ways to write up on this mirror on the left, and there are pens that write on a mirror, but there are also small sticky notes, but there's paper you can take back to your pew. And the reason I'm saying it out loud is because it can be very scary to break the plane of coming up here. So as we have communion, we'll stand to the side so you feel okay about coming up here and spending some time, only if you want to. On this side, really as a primer for us, are the love letters between Eric and his wife, Carly. And that painting is a gift he gave her. So we don't have permission to read the letters. But they are present as a testimony and witness to their love. Here is our hope, that John Wesley and maybe all of us can continue to see these disciplines as central to any life that purports to love God. See, Wesley understood the consistent practice of any one of these would go really far in keeping those who seek to follow Christ in touch with God's love. And we would say that these disciplines offer a path to aligning our life and our heart with the love of God. And as we hear from the scripture that Matt read for us this morning, staying in love with God has been part of being a disciple from the times of the first followers all the way till today. See, we are part of that long line of God's love. It was just a few weeks ago here in the sanctuary, and you can find it on the podcast, that we read the story of Jesus asking Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Peter answers yes every time, and at the end of Jesus's life, He also denies Jesus 3 times. Was this because Peter fell out of love with God? I think it's more likely that Peter, like most of humanity, just needed more practice to be ready when someone asks you a deep question to have an answer about how you align your life with loving God. Because see, it's important to ask ourselves, when have we felt most aligned with the divine love that is already operating in the world? When is that for us? What was it that we noticed this last week that maybe helped us have a light bulb moment or a warm feeling or even just a pause that helped us understand our alignment in God's community? And when you answer those, then the third question to ask is, how can you get more of that? How can you get more practice at that? I had carpal tunnel release surgery on this hand last December. I'm going to have it on this hand when I'm ready. It's much better. But what I want to tell you is my knitting has really been curtailed. I can still knit, but I've experienced quite a setback. Yeah, that's when I was in good knitting form. I figured it out when I tried to continue a project that I love, because I really love to use very thin yarn and very small needles. And when I went back to this project that I love, my tension was all off, and I couldn't get it to look like that anymore. And I can't get it to match what I originally started. I hope that makes sense. That was back in February. So I put my needles down, and you, what did I do? I cried. I was sad. And I tried to convince myself that other things would fill the void. I didn't cuss. Forget knitting. Other things can fill that void, like buying yarn or a new yarn bag, because I only have 17. Or maybe using colored pencils or pens and trying to do some art. Lots of people get by without knitting. There's a lot of you out there, and I'll do it too. And then I was in Growing in Faith a few weeks ago. That's our class, our 6-week class. And a person sharing, we listen. And what we ask you to do is listen, and maybe in someone else's sharing, God is speaking to you. So, of course, I'm listening, and God's voice started calling to me. This person said that they had been part of a church for over 30 years. And that church had actually saved that person's life. But for many reasons, they had to walk away. And they figured, hey, lots of people don't go to church. Forget church. Lots of people forget church and they still can love God. I'll be fine, this person thought. And so that's what they did. But after quite a bit of time not going to church, they decided, kind of on an impulse, to come and worship here on a Christmas Eve night. And coming into the sanctuary and being part of public worship, that person realized they need the community of people around them who are trying to love God. But they can no longer do it the same way they have done it for 30 years. And even though they felt a bit at odds, right? It's a sanctuary, but the music's really different. They felt familiar in an unfamiliar way. And now they are trying to get back to church so that they can get back to loving God. So I tried to knit again. And it didn't work because I said I have to have surgery on this hand too. So it was really, it just was too hard. But when I was in Minneapolis last weekend, I went to a fabulous knit shop. It's so cool. Carlene, you're going to love it. I'm digressing. It's a redone firehouse. 2 floors of yarn. And a pole. Yeah. And I told my story to the knitter on duty. And he suggested I stop trying to knit what I think I should knit and start over. Big needles. Big, soft, easy to hold yarn. Okay, next one. There's another one. Do it, John. Yeah. Thanks. See, that sucks to me. So, thank you. I have to go back and think about what I'm doing. I had to pull that out 4 times just to get it to there. I had to be fully present. That's why I had to pull it out and start over 4 times. I just couldn't pick back up where I was. But I'm starting to find my way. And the way what I really want you to hear is the way I'm finding my way is with the help of the knitting community, which has been important to me my adult life, but also because of a story from this community. So whether you are one who has loved God as long as you can ever remember, or whether you became aware of God last week as you were praying on a curb in the midst of a hardship, finding our way to loving God, it takes practice. It just takes practice. And we think it is worth the try. And we hope that you think so too. Thanks for showing up. Amen.
Refuse to be each other's enemy. We can overcome. We can overcome. When we listen to each other's point of view, we can overcome. We can overcome. Love shall overcome. Love shall overcome. Love shall overcome. Love shall overcome.